Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, June 25th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have with us Nathan King. Nathan is an intern with our student ministry, and after Nathan reads, we'll have some time to sit down and chat about life and faith. Thank you, Nathan, for joining us today.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited. Our first reading today is going to be from 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12. It says, "Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. But test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Brothers and sisters, pray for us. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers and sisters. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Our second reading is going to be coming from Psalm 40. It says, "For the director of music of David, a psalm. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Blessed is the one who trusts the Lord, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside from false gods. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders you have done, the things you planned for us. None can compare with you. Were I to speak and tell of your deeds, they would be too many to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, here I am. I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart. I proclaim your saving acts in the great assembly. I do not seal my lips, Lord, as you know. I do not hide your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and your saving help. I do not conceal your love and your faithfulness from the great assembly. Do not withhold your mercy from me, Lord. May your love and faithfulness always protect me. For troubles without number surround me. My sins have overtaken me. I cannot see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my heart fails within me. Be pleased to save me, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to help me. May all who want to take my life be put to shame and confusion. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But as for me, I am poor and needy. May the Lord think of me. You are my help, my deliverer. You are my God. Do not delay." So let's turn really quick to Job 41 for our last reading for today. And starting in verse 1, it says, "Can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook, or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of it like a bird, or put it on a leash for the young women in your house? Will traders barter for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing it is false. The mere sight of it is overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no air can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. Its breath sets coals ablaze and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it raises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw and bronze like rotten wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Sling stones are like chaff to it. A club seems to it but a piece of straw. It laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. It looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud.
Thank you, Nathan, for joining us on the podcast today. Nathan, as I said earlier, is an intern with our student ministry, but he's no stranger to Ben Winder. And so I want you to tell us, Nathan, how you know Ben, and then a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here. So how I know Ben is, my father is a pastor back home in Atlanta, Georgia. He is the senior pastor at Johns Creek Baptist Church. And when we lived in Etowah, Tennessee, Ben Winder worked under my dad as the youth minister person for that. And so I guess me and Ben go way back, but the thing is that I was like 5 or 6 when we were in Tennessee. So it wasn't really until this year or when I got to college when we started to talk a little more and become better friends and get to know each other a little better.
Tell me a little more about your family. You say your dad's a pastor. Tell me more about where you grew up and things like that.
Yeah. So since my dad's a pastor, we have moved around a few times for different churches. Like I said, we were in Etowah, Tennessee, at a church over there. And then we moved down to Orlando. We were serving at a church there for about 5 years. And then we moved when I was in 6th grade to Georgia. And we've been there ever since. And as of 2.5 years ago, I moved to Birmingham for college. And I'm at Samford University right now, loving it, going to my junior year.
Do you have any siblings?
Yes, I have. I have one younger brother. His name is Jackson. He just graduated high school, and he's going to go to Belmont University. He's going to be studying motion pictures. He wants to be a director. I think that's pretty cool.
Tell us what you are studying at Samford.
Yeah. So after about 2 other major changes, I have a major in religion, or I am working towards a major in religion with a minor in church and culture.
Does that mean that you think you might be headed towards some kind of Christian ministry as a profession, or what's your thoughts right now?
Yeah, eventually. So I've kind of recently had this big calling for ministry, for missions, for anything in that realm. And a big reason why I wanted to come and be a part of Mountain Brook and intern here for a little bit is because I want to be able to define what it is that's like stirring inside of me with ministry. Like I want to be able to know, like, do I want to work as a youth pastor? Do I want to work in the music ministry? Do I want to be involved in missions? Do I want to do everything? Like so it's very much up in the air right now, but what I do want to, what I'm hoping for is that this is going to help me kind of define and kind of steer me to where I think God's calling me.
Now, I see you often in the contemporary service, Nathan, playing the drums. Is that the only instrument that you play, and how did you begin a love for music?
So, drums are not the only instrument that I can play. I can play guitar. I can dabble in the bass a little bit. I can kind of play the banjo a little bit. But my musical roots go back a few generations to my granddad. He also plays the drums, and I remember going over to his house a bunch and watching him play the drums and always wanting to, you know, hit on him and whatever. And then in sixth grade, I started with middle school band and did band all throughout middle school and high school, did drumline in high school. And then in junior year, got my first guitar. And I have been in love with music for as long as I can remember. So, yeah.
I want to know your story or your journey of faith. How did you come to faith, and how have you seen the Lord transform you over the years?
That's a great question. So because my dad is a pastor, it has been quite a journey to understand my own faith and to make my faith my own. Because I come from a ministry background, it's hard to actually realize that my relationship with God is unique to me, and nothing that anybody else can tell me about. And I think that that growing up, it's been a big struggle and a big thing for me to actually begin to realize. So I was baptized when I was like 7 or something, but I didn't really begin to understand my faith and actually take control of my faith until around my junior or senior year of high school. During that time, I started kind of having some battles with some mental health issues and stuff like that, as a lot of people do. And throughout all of that, it has required me to be in constant reliance of God. And with that, it means talking to people, understanding their stories and how they've grown, and understanding that that in all of it, God will never abandon me. God has never abandoned me, and that there's so much hope with my life and with Jesus.
You mentioned dependence upon the Lord, and I'm wondering, is there a song that kind of relates to that? Is there a song that you like in this season that you could say, I commend this song to you, it helps me as I worship the Lord?
So there are two that I really, really like. So one of them is, it just came out by Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music. It's called I Will Wait on You, I think. But it's one of those songs that just keeps going on and on and on over and over again. But the message of it is really, really great, because as much as I long to hear and see what God is doing in my life, there's such a beauty in just waiting, and there's such a beauty in marveling that God doesn't play by time's rules at all, and so therefore God has all the time, and so God God will work when God wants to work. And so I think that's perfect and annoying all at the same time because of how much I want God to satisfy my needs right then and there. But ultimately, God's timing's perfect. And it's something that I've had to really, really wrestle with, really wrestle with. Another great song that I love is Beautiful Things by Gunger. The message of it is incredible. I think that God makes beautiful things out of the dust. And we are part of God's creation, that God wanted us to be here. And that we all have a purpose in this life, and that it's not all just a waste, you know? So I think both of those have been really, really great and formative for me. So, yeah.
Tell us a podcast that you're listening to right now.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big podcast listener. Love them. So there are like two or three that I love listening to. One of them off the top of my head is called Poco a Poco. It's a podcast by Franciscan friars, who just talk about like what their lives are like and different devotions and spiritual practices and different meditations and whatnot. And poco a poco means little by little. And so that's the entire message of the podcast, that little by little we're just trying to make it right. Another big one that I love, I'm huge into the Enneagram, so I love listening to Typology with Ian Morgan Cron. I think it gives me some really, really great insight to who I am and to who others are. You know, so.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the scriptures. Was there anything that stood out today that you wanted to give comment on in the passages that you read?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, the passage in Job 41, about the description of the Leviathan, I think that entire response that God gives to Job is so, so incredibly cool. The Leviathan in the Bible is often the embodiment or the personification of evil. It's what the ancient Jews had characterized as this terrible evil dragon, whatever. And it goes and it describes this dragon. But what I got from it was that God was merely describing it, and that God has the capability of describing it. And if we look at it from a standpoint of evil, that God knows literally every single thing, including the evil. God knows every single part of creation. The evil parts, the good parts, the parts that we're not proud of, the parts that we are proud of. And the bigger picture of the God response in Job is that there is so, so much more that we cannot see that God is doing. And that God is a lot more than what we think God is. That God knows who we are from the inside out, and God knows every single part of creation. God knows the evil. God knows that God will redeem. And so, if anything, I think that passage in Job really, really was just hope-filled. You know, we've got God that knows every single little intricate part of creation. You know, like it's so cool.
With that in mind, just praising the Lord for his power and his omniscience, would you lead us in prayer as we close the podcast today?
For sure. Heavenly Father, I thank you so, so much for today. And I thank you that we get a chance to be here today, that we get a chance to be a part of your creation. And I want to pray today for everybody who's listening to this podcast, everybody who isn't listening to this podcast, but I wanted to pray that they would be able to see your involvement in creation. And I pray that they would be able to see their involvement as part of creation. I pray that you would continue to work through Everybody who's listening to this, everybody who felt inspired by this, I pray that people would start to understand who you really are and the care and the hope that you provide. And in your name, I pray.